Lord, we love you and appreciate you. We belong to you. This is your time, Lord. Help us to use it in accordance with your will. In your name, amen. Please be seated. We have a couple of lessons up there today. The first one comes out of Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. The sky is falling.
You okay, Mark?
All right. Life by the Spirit. Life in the Spirit, life through the Spirit. A lot of different words are used in connection with that. We're going to focus on part of that today. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying one another. Our gospel lesson for this morning comes out of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, a relatively familiar true story, not a parable, true story of the 10 lepers. So here we go. So I'm sorry, Luke 17, starting at verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Like to invite children to come down. That a girl. Squeeze together. We can all get in the front row. Squeeze together. You can all make it. Some more seats over on that end. All right. I'll move this a little bit so you can... Good morning. You guys are looking good today. You ready? All right. Pretty simple children's sermon this morning, and it kind of leads into a more complicated big people sermon today. But we're talking about one guy. 10 were healed. What'd the one guy do? He came back and thanked God. How come he did that? How come you can have a bunch of people sitting in front of you, they all get the same miracle, only one guy comes back? How come that's like that? That would be not a bad guess. Something like that, yes. That's what she just said, but yes, you're right, absolutely. Believed in God, yes. That he was healed. There's something that happened inside his head and his heart that made him stop from running in one direction. He turned around and he ran back to Jesus, and it says he fell on his face before him, before his feet, and he said, "Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus, for healing me." Now, Jesus says something really interesting. He goes, "Where are the other nine? Where are the other nine? Didn't I heal nine, all ten? Yes, but only one returned." And so we begin to understand, just because God does good things for people in people's lives, sometimes they're not motivated to be very thankful. Sometimes it's like us when we take people for granted. How many of you expect to get lunch today? Well, what are you going to contribute? What are you going to buy? Are you going to go out and pick something and cook it? How are you getting home today? A car. Is it your car? Can you drive yet? Who's taking you home? I bet some of you won't even say thank you, will you? Huh? Maybe mom and dad should just leave you here. Mom and dad, if they don't say thank you, bring them back to church, drop them off. How would that be? How many people are probably, who are sitting here, are probably going to get lunch today and are probably going to be taken home? How many of you plan on getting lunch today and getting taken home? Yeah, yeah. How many of you are going to say, yep, yep. So if you don't say thank you, you have to clean the whole house. How would that be? And you don't get to eat until the house is clean. How would that be? It's hard to remember to say thank you, isn't it? It's not just something little people struggle with. Young people, big people, old people, same thing. Sometimes God does wonderful things for us, and sometimes we're not very thankful at all. And so part of the message is learning how to be thankful. The other part is learning how to look at my hands and my life and realize what God has done for me. So you listen for that part in the sermon too, okay? Good. I got the treat for y'all. Ladies first, right? Here we go. Grab one and run. Just one. Hurry up. Go quick. Five. Four. Girls are getting none. Pretty soon I'll hand them out. You won't even get to pick. Three, two. Three and a half. Is he okay? I'll bring it over there. Hurry up. Three, two, one. Last one has to do dishes at my house. I never have anybody that does dishes at my house. Well, I'll find it. All right, I'm grabbing it. I'm grabbing it. I'm grabbing it. Hurry up. Ah, I no, good. It's so hard. You're welcome, honey. There you go. I was going to say something about how many thank yous I got, but children's sermons fall apart if you're not careful sometimes. So. A normal week for me goes up and down. How about yours? By up and down, I mean, oh, it's a good day. Oh, it's not so good. It's overcast. It's, you know, it can be impacted on by weather. People send me some wonderful information like, how many people are left in Afghanistan, or the number of people that are, and on, right? That's where our week goes. And it's perfectly okay. And what happens is sometimes we get under it, for lack of a better word. It means too much pressure is being dumped on us. Well, one of the things that happened to me this week was I really liked the song Mark picked as the last song. I'm just a shuffling in my head. I didn't do it outside in front of you guys. But I just loved that song. And I could not remember why I loved it. I mean, I knew I loved it, but where did I hear this song? Where did I hear this song? So I said to my Google, I said, go find this song, and it looked it up, and it brought this song up, and we're ready when you are. Nice and not too loud, because get your Jamaica on. Get your Jamaica on. Jamaica on, no worries. Yeah, man, danke. This is through Jamaica. I'll do one verse, don't get mad at me yet.
Marching in the light of God. We are marching in the light of God. We are marching in the light of God.
Or is it just me?
We are marching, we are marching. Oh, we are marching in the light of God. We are marching, we are marching. Oh, we are marching in the light of God.
Good, thank you.
We are living in the love.
I'd keep it going, but I don't want anybody to throw stuff at me. Some people like that. Some people don't. I don't care. Not because, I mean, but at home, you just kind of go, right? And please raise your hand and tell me I'm not the only weird pastor in town here. All right, good. And what's the rule of thumb there? I say, dance like there's nobody watching. Oh, man. So anyway, what I discovered is this is actually a South African song. It's Zulu, and I was going to play about three other versions because I figured that'd be a great sermon just listening to all these people sing. It'd be better than what I could say. But I thought, what a beautiful theme, what a beautiful message, and then the concept of marching. You know, you're marching, but you're kind of wiggling it. You know what I mean? It's not, you know. If you get people marching all in the same direction, the thing that struck me is I was experiencing, because I was focusing and experiencing both the song, the remembrance that it was African, remembrance of the brothers and sisters that I praise God with in Africa, who, by the way, the best church I went to in Africa had about 20 people plus, men and women, and they are just marching in the that if you were sitting out there, you'd be the odd one out. They're all moving, okay? And so I am celebrating this in my head, and I'm discovering that all of the junk, all the heaviness, all the stuff that was burdening me down or filling my mind began to be washed away, began to be removed. And so I began to understand or be reminded again. I didn't consciously do it. I just started dancing. Okay? Now, that didn't mean Afghanistan went away, or that didn't mean that the president began to do something more righteous that I perceive as righteous. That didn't mean. It meant that God was beginning to fill my heart in the words of that song with the memories of the brothers and sisters who worshiped him. And rather than spend my time going, oh man, the world is over, I'm going to die, like that, I was experiencing the presence of God. I was experiencing what God always promises when a person begins to set their mind on the Spirit. And so one of the things that struck me was how quickly, and then I began to, you may laugh, I listened to it in 14 other versions. And one of the versions I listened to was a high school choir. And I go, now I remember this song and why I loved it so much. The high school kids would sing this song, and they sing it both in African and then sing it in English. And they were marching up to the podium, to the bleachers and the places they were going to stand on the risers. And I go, that brought back other good thoughts about the testimony, the witness, and other things. And so God, and I were having a moment, for lack of a better description. Now, in that, I want you to understand, I did not say, I have to dance because God said so. I didn't say, I better not dance because God said so. I just danced. And my mind was set upon the things of God. I began to experience what God wanted me to understand and what I remembered. And like I said, all those things began to be a part of that particular moment. So now I take you into this account of the 10 lepers, and I want to ask the question, how come one was so different? They all experienced the healing. They all were announced, your sins are forgiven. You can go now. They all are walking, running to see the priest, and as they go, the leprosy disintegrates, disappears off their hands and face and body, and they all are moving in this direction. But one person stops. And the miracle of the true story is that this Samaritan, who has no particular closeness like the Jews would have had with Jesus, stops in his tracks, goes back, and he falls on his face before Jesus, and he says, thank you for the healing that you've given me. Now, one of the challenges is I can make this a law. You need to be more thankful, right? But law produces nothing but a lot of negative junk. There wasn't any law governing my dancing. In fact, if you looked at me right now and said, Pastor, you need to start dancing, I'd feel this, what I call this natural resistance. You can't tell me what to do. I'll do whatever I want up here or anywhere. I mean, it's part of my natural instinct. And so I begin to realize how important this was. This leper left everybody running from they were all running to see the priest, left them all, go right straight back to Jesus, fell on his face, and gave thanks. Then that's part of the miracle. The second part is the awareness as Jesus turns this issue from the gift that it was of this thankful man, and he says, wouldn't it be a recommendation, a law, a direction? Where are the 10? How come there only one return and to praise God except this foreigner? And then he rises up and he says, rise up, go, your faith has made you well. So into this setting now, we're going to have something taking place. The Holy Spirit working in this man's life. The Holy Spirit, like the kids pointed out, reminding this person who I was before I met Jesus, who I am now. When was the last time you danced down from the altar? I got the blood of Jesus. Right, I'm not going to make you do that because people would say that's disrespectful. But you don't have to just dance on the outside, but you begin to understand this is God communicating with us. This is God bringing healing into my life. Why in the world should I thank God? And the answer is, I look at my leprous hands and they're healed by the presence of God. These hands are perfectly capable of everything evil your hands are capable of. This mind is perfectly capable of all the evil and leprosy that your mind is capable of. The body, etc., etc. And yet in the middle of it, we come into church, we're reminded in the mercy of God that our sins have been forgiven, they have been paid for in full upon the cross, and that miracle of the presence of God in our life is to create, or the byproduct is, thank you, Jesus, all right? And you begin to understand. I looked at the two texts. These were both given as part of the pericopes for the day. And then I looked at this second text going, what in the world does this have in common with Galatians? So turn there for a moment, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5. One of the challenges that people deal with is, how come I can't be better? How come I can't be more forgiving? How come I can't be more sensitive to my wife or my husband? How come I'm so, you fill in the blank, so prideful, so arrogant, so negative? You fill it in. How come you do those things? I have my list, you got your list. It's not a let's shame each other and talk about each other's bad lists. When you go into this section, if you want to start going through a list, put, you know, grab down there in verse 19, the acts of your sinful nature are very evident. If you weren't aware of how powerful your sinful nature is, you start reading this list, and it begins to communicate very quickly that there's a lot of stuff we do without even thinking about it, run by the sinful nature, and that becomes part of the challenge of the text. But the directive up there in verse 4, verse 16, is that, so I, Paul, say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your sinful nature. Now, one of the dilemmas of this text is that 10 people can be healed, and only one comes out of it understanding the power of the text. You understand? There is a way for me, for God, for the presence of the Holy Spirit, to stifle my sinful nature. My sinful nature does not have to run me. Okay? Would God simply say, oh, Bruce, you can't dance in front of the congregation? Why would he care? If I'm sincere about it and I'm not just doing it as a joke or something stupid or shallow, if I want to dance or you want to dance, you can dance. But you begin to understand this text is saying you have to be abiding, living with, walking with the Spirit. When you stop walking with the Spirit, you should know instantly, because your thoughts, actions, words, behavior, and attitudes begin to reflect what's in this list and a lot more that you can come up with yourself. And so you take the time to look at that unbelievable list and you start to understand. I've got this list here, and it goes, let me find my spot because I got this handwritten here. All right? The works of the flesh are shining through. They're made apparent, verse 19, which are illicit sexual intercourse. All right? Fornication is the word. Okay? Impurity, moral or physical. I'm just telling you the Greek translations of these words. Unbridled lust, shamelessness, and wantonness. I like the multiple adjectives because I begin to go, wow, that's sin too. That's sin also. That's flesh, flesh, flesh. And I begin to understand it. It goes on from there. Worship of images or idolatry or making other things, people, or stuff more important than God. Drugs, pharmakia, sorcery. Using drugs to temper. I got to have another drink. I go, the moment you have to have a drink, there's a problem. All right? It's not the alcohol. It's inside your head. You begin to go, hostility or hatred. Sometimes we're not just hateful, we're hostile. You come in and your countenance changes. You look at that person sitting across the aisle from you, and your countenance, oh, there she is. And you can watch your countenance change. Strife and contentiousness. Another one. Zealousness, jealousy, the word heat. I'm burning up, feeling this anger, that kind of flavor. Fierceness, wrath, and passion. Strife and drama, the word intrigue. I create drama wherever I am. But don't talk too loud. She doesn't, he doesn't, oh, you know, how they respond, that kind of thing. Divisiveness, dissension, and disunion. Heresies, factions, and cliques. Ill will and envy. Of these I tell you beforehand, just like I've already said, that these sort of things, if you keep practicing them, you're not going to be inheriting the kingdom of God. So now, as I'm thinking, I go, gee, I feel all weighed down, Lord. I feel all almost depressed. I can't just say, make it all go away. That's foolishness. But instead, just by actions of turning on a song, God brought memory after memory after memory, thought after thought after thought, back into my life, and I could begin to dance. And I began to understand the gift of the Holy Spirit in my life is the byproduct of the fruit of the Spirit. And the point that made that one leper turn around, something clicked in his head. He started hearing Jamaica. I'm going back to Jesus. All right? He didn't dance like that, but his action communicated all of the thoughts that he was thinking at that point in time. So you begin to understand that. The very phrase, he goes, that he says, when he saw he was healed, he came back, praising God, loud voice, threw himself at Jesus' feet, and thanked him. He didn't care who watched. He didn't care what you or I thought of him throwing himself at Jesus' feet. He just did it because the Holy Spirit had gotten a hold of them because he looked at what the gospel, Jesus Christ, the healing of his physical body, communicated to him, and it produced in him all kinds of thankfulness, all kinds of appreciation, all kinds of single-mindedness. Laugh if you want, I'm dancing before Jesus. Laugh if you want, I'm laying my face before Jesus at his feet. You can call him anything you want. He is Jesus, my Lord, to me. And so you begin to understand that Jesus is communicating something even through the account of the 10 lepers that begins to fit together in Galatians. What's God seeking to do in my life? He's seeking to make sure I become continuously aware when my flesh starts running me. Now, I've talked about that enough. I can't talk about it enough because my flesh is affected and powerful just like yours is. It can be triggered by who didn't call, who did call, what I heard, what I didn't hear, how you behaved, whether you didn't behave, how my kids are today, how much money I have in my pocket, how much money I need, what kind of pressure I'm getting from the outside, what kind of pressure I'm not getting from the outside. 100 things can pile up, and I can justify all of my actions and attitudes of the flesh. I can justify, my wife doesn't understand me, and my kids are a bunch of pains. People are, life is hard, I don't have enough money, and I go down my list just like you do. And I begin to understand his point is so critically important that as he starts to put this together, he said, listen, if you're in the spirit, those suckers are not going to be fed. Your flesh has got nothing to do with, nothing to work with. Why? I wasn't beating my head going, oh, no, no good, I'm no good, life's tough. Life. I was going, oh, dancing. It took over the members of my body, and I began to feel the presence of the Lord, understanding the faithfulness of marching in the light of God. Not only was the message there, but all the things communicating with it. And marching in the light implies I'm standing in the spot where God's Spirit wants me to stand. And so you begin to understand when they were stoning Stephen, that he should have been cursing them. He should have been humiliating them. And instead, Stephen is dancing. I'm looking up into heaven. I can see God. I'm coming, Lord. Well, he didn't quite dance, but you remember the account. His face began to shine, the radiance of angelic presence of God in his life. And they got so vehemently angry at it. Why? Because he was dancing when he should have been screaming, crying, and cursing and swearing. And Jesus on the cross, right? What should he have been doing by every standard? The injustice, the immorality, the wickedness of crucifying him, the humiliation, the ridicule he had to deal with, the shame and embarrassment and everything else. Father, forgive him. They have no idea what... He's dancing. You kind of go, really? I go, yeah. You understand, living in the Spirit is operating, hearing the melody of a different tune. They would say, marching to the tune of a different drummer. All right? So one of the things, every one of the churches I went to in Africa, there was anywhere between 2 to 5 drums. Those were their musical instruments. A couple of the churches had a CD player, or I think they were CDs or tapes at the time, but tape players. And then they would get up in front, and they were all dancing. And I couldn't help but start to, I didn't know what they were saying, but I knew what the words eventually said because they handed me eventually a sheet with the English on so I could follow along. But the point ultimately that Jesus is working on, or Paul particularly in Galatians, is the reason it's not working well for you is because you're listening to the wrong music. You're hearing the wrong voice. You're focusing on the garbage of yourself. one of the things I like to ask people, where is that voice coming from? Is the Holy Spirit telling you, talk like this to people? Does it sound like something God would say? Stare in the mirror and tell yourself how ugly, stupid, and dumb you are. All right? That is not the presence of the Spirit. Stand in front of the mirror and I close my eyes because I don't want to see it either. But having said that, I have begun and have had to continue to learn that when God invites me to walk in the Spirit, what will I do? When 9 people go that way, I'll be walking this way. When everybody else is busy taking care of themselves, I'm going to go back and thank God. I can't think of a better place to be than on my face in front of Jesus. Why? Because the power of the Holy Spirit is in me, working on me, accomplishing what he promises. And so we look at this text then, and we begin to understand the fruit of the Spirit is also evident. It begins to demonstrate itself in an attitude of joy, confidence in the middle of difficult situations, dancing in front of a congregation, laying on my face when all of my friends won't do that, understanding that God's more important than anything else, living in an attitude that makes no sense to the external world. So we pick up love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Every one of those are manifestations of the Spirit of God in my life. But that's not all there is, because the word is singular. It's fruit. It's not fruits. You go, boy, I got love today, but I got no self-control. Wait a minute. You got love, but I got no self-control. That wasn't the Spirit telling you that. If the Spirit is in you, you've got every one of the pieces of fruit or parts of that fruit that is being born there. You know, in heaven, there is the tree of life. You know, on that tree, same tree, it bears fruit of all kinds, 12 different kinds to match the seasons of the year. It's described in a couple of different ways in Revelation. Do you understand God will give you what you need for the moment? What do I need for this moment? Lay on your face, grab Jesus' feet, and say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. What do you need in this one? All right. Why? Because when the Spirit runs you, when the Spirit begins to take over, the fruit of his presence begins to impact on your life. Not only was I hearing the song, I was saying and singing the words. Not only was I saying and singing the words, I was understanding what the light of God really means. Not only that, God was bringing to my memory people, situations, and praise with people that have basically nothing compared to what I have. People who go back to a house of one room. People that go back and share an entire one room with a family of 2, 4, 6 people. And in the middle of it, they're teaching me to praise God while I'm supposedly the visiting pastor being treated like I'm some honored guest. And what I should have been doing is getting on my face or walking up there and shaking my not very coordinated butt. Why? Because that is where the Spirit would have led me. But you see, those are the things that we got to be challenged by. Sometimes the Spirit will cause you to stand up. Sometimes the Spirit will tell you, be still. Just because you know something is true, the Holy Spirit doesn't tell you to share it. You understand? Just because something is correct doesn't mean your husband wants to hear it. Or your wife can put up with it right now. Or your kid is ready and prepared to listen to it. One of the things that I have to be conscious of, how difficult it is for some kids, people, adults or children, both, to hear some of the tough things that are going on. Some of the words and phrases that are really difficult. This disease, this is the end, life is, and all those kinds of things. And you forget the amount of impact. Even when you open your mouth, Holy Spirit, draw me so close to you that I can start walking in the light of God consistently. And so you begin to understand the power of God in this one Samaritan's life, brings him on his face, while 9 go in the other direction, He comes and does what the Spirit leads him to do. And Jesus is honored by it. And Jesus looks at him and finally says, "Rise, go, your faith has made you well." And you and I begin to understand it's meant to be something that holds us accountable. But don't turn it into law. Figure out your dance. Figure out what causes, triggers, allows you to be setting your mind and heart aside into the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I'm conscious of it. Many times, just like playing the song I played for you, I had no idea because we heard it kind of just sung the way the music group sings it, which was perfectly good for me. All of a sudden, I hear this calypso thing going. And it wasn't even the way I heard it from our choir. Our choir sang it African. And African, it's got a nice drum beat and everything else also. But ultimately, here's the bottom line. As Jesus gets to that point, and we look now at the end of this section in Galatians, and we come to this little phrase. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Where did it get crucified? Through baptism, through the work of God. It's that sucker's been nailed. I tear it back off the cross so I can live any way I want. Verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step. That's a march word, by the way. Struck me. I go, wow, here it is. There's a march word. Let us keep in step in the march with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, or envying each other. And so in the middle of this message, obviously, how is the church supposed to function? Well, we have to be in the Spirit. Why? Otherwise, we'll do just the opposite. You'll begin to find yourself conceited, provoking, and envying. Why can't we be like and look at that and all the different things? And so when God is speaking to us, He's calling us forward in the power of the leper to look at what the gospel has done for a sinful man. You understand? Next time, stand in front of the mirror after your shower and say, "God redeemed my right hand, God redeemed my left hand, and my head, and my ear, and my nose, and my mouth, and whatever." Point at everything. You can figure what I'm saying. God redeemed it all. Now, celebrate it. How much of it is going to heaven? All of it. And you begin to understand the gospel is the leprosy, is the healing of the leprosy that we've been healed from. And so we begin to understand, Lord, I got to start my day thanking you. I thank you that you gave me another day. Who am I to deserve one more breath, one more heartbeat, one more friendship, one more acquaintance, one more mouthful of food? Who am I? Make me aware, Lord, so that I can dance by the power of the Holy Spirit to the rhythm and the beat the Spirit gives me, whether it's lay on your face before God, whether it's stand up strong against the forces of enemies out there, or whether it's dancing the calypso or some version of a Jamaican beat here through the rest of your life. God has this desire to teach you to dance, to hear His music in the middle of every situation. And He looked up into heaven and His face began to glow as He began to see. You understand? There's no difference between you and Stephen. Stephen was dancing while they stoned him to death. That's the call that God lays upon your heart, and that's the strength that He can pour into you and me. Pray with me, if you would. Lord, how precious you are and how good you are. I ask that you teach me how to dance better. I pray, Lord, that I'd recognize more quickly when my flesh is running me. And then, Lord, I pray that you'd help me understand I have no power over that wretched stuff, but you do. And you can take my heart that's weighed down and shot through with pain and difficulty, shame and embarrassment, and you can restore it so it can dance within my spirit, dance within my heart, dance within the very nature of life that's around me. You, Lord, are taking me through the most difficult of times with the power of your Holy Spirit. Your invitation is to live in the Spirit so that the fruit that only the Spirit can produce would be in me. And so, Lord, call your people to that point until we rest powerfully in the song that you want to play for us every day that we're alive so that we can demonstrate, live fully in the power and the joy of your presence. We pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen.